Have you ever wanted to discover what's missing in your life? Metaphysics is available to all and is part of your life even if you don't know it. Welcome to Metaphysics, a view through the veil with Barb Crowley. Together we'll explore the mysteries behind metaphysics and how to use it to have a deeper understanding and advantage in life. And now here's your host, Barb Crowley.
Hi, this is Barb Crowley and welcome to Metaphysics, a view through the veil. Today, we're talking to Amy Robeson. Amy is an Akashic Record master, teacher, healer, and founder of Sacred Awakenings, where she empowers individuals through her powerful Akashic Records program to tap into their inner potential for transformation by cultivating curiosity to live their best lives. Amy speaks light codes and light language, plus she shows you how to be courageous enough to walk your divine path. And we're going to delve in with Amy and figure out what first. Well, first I have to ask you, how did you get here? And then I'm going to ask about light codes. But how did you become a teacher and mentor of Akashic Records and light codes, light language, all of this. So tell me your story, Amy.
I found myself here by accident. And what I mean by that is I was in a dark place, super depressed, didn't want to be here anymore. I heard do yoga. That led me to One Direction. And then I started depression all over again after I found my way. And this time I knew I didn't want to get to the point where I didn't want to be here anymore and I had to do something. And the reason why I was depressed again is because I cracked my tailbone for the second time. And so the one thing that brought me pleasure, which was yoga and brought me stability and focus and all that, I couldn't do it anymore. And so I did some soul searching and it was like, what do I want to do? Because I was also having an identity crisis. I moved to a new city, didn't have any friends. What I thought I was going to do versus what I was doing was two totally different experiences because I moved to be with my now husband. And so my plans changed. And when you're used to doing so many things and your identity is wrapped around those things that you're doing and they get taken away from you, you start having a soul crisis, you have an identity crisis, and you're trying to figure out what you want to do. And so for me, it was like, I got to do something. What is it that I've been saying I want to do that I haven't done? And that was, I want to learn how to meditate. And so I reached out, I found my first meditation teacher who had abilities like Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce is like the most well-known psychic medium that used the Akashic Records to channel his healings, treatments, all sorts of different stuff. And so I was like, she's like, do you want to become a meditation teacher? I'm like, sure, why not? That sounds simple. Like,
be a what?
A meditation teacher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm like, sure, why not? Well, I had no clue what I was actually agreeing to. I learned how to do like aura readings and mediumship and
can I started ask you though, she was a Edgar Cayce modality. And Edgar Cayce actually went to sleep for his readings.
So she was a trance medium similar to him, where she would go into a deep, deep trance and start channeling through trance. And the way that I was taught, I wasn't taught to go into a trance, but that's how she channeled. The cool thing now is like, we don't have to go into this deep trance and fall asleep, because Edgar Cayce was called the sleeping prophet.
Right.
And so he didn't
remember anything.
Right. Right. And it's just really cool. So she had similar abilities like him. And so I learned how to do exorcism, aura readings, chakra balancings, mediumship. I learned how to do automatic writing. So I accidentally found the records through that training. Right. And then I heard about the records and I knew immediately, because the Akashic Records starts speaking to the student when the student is ready, mm-hmm. and they'll start speaking loudly when they're very ready, or like they'll just keep popping up until you say yes to it. And so for me, I was like, I know this thing, like it feels familiar. I want to know about it. And then once I figured out what it was and started training in it, I discovered I had been utilizing the records all my life because I would know things that I shouldn't know. And I would visit the records when I was a kid in my sleep. And I would do all these things through the records. And I would know things that a kid should not know for the age that I was. And I had a lot of premonition dreams and things like that. I can remember dreams from when I was 1.5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I found the records found me by accident.
Through meditation?
Yes.
That came up?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then once I started studying them, I discovered that I've been utilizing them forever. And then I was guided to actually start teaching them because I never thought when I discovered them, I never thought this would be something I would teach. I just thought they were cool and I wanted to know what they were about. And then I discovered I was really good at it. And I'm a big believer, follow the energy and doors will open that you never imagined would open. And so for me, it was just following the energy, just accidentally landed here. And it's not by accident. It was by choice because I follow the energy and I absolutely love it because for anybody that's listening that doesn't know what the Akashic Records are, every word, deed, thought from the moment your soul is incepted is recorded in the Akashic field. And we can open up the Akashic Records to receive love and guidance and support from the guardians of the records, also known as the masters, teachers, and loved ones around any area of your life. And they can give you advice from relationships to what to eat for dinner. I use the records to build my whole business, to health, to wealth, you name it, it can help you with it. And it's an amazing life tool.
Mm-hmm. Is this what you mean by multidimensional existence? Or is that something very different?
Well, so one of the things
I just jumped you, didn't I?
No. I love talking about this. So we're, as a being, we're super multidimensional. And oftentimes you'll hear the term mind, body, soul. Mm-hmm. And people get it. Like, it's your soul, it's your mind, it's your body. Well, what that actually means, though, too, if you look at it from the multidimensional perspective, is you're much more than your physical body. And when you look at all of the bodies that make up who you are, that's what your multidimensional self looks like. So it's your mental body, your emotional body, your physical body, your ego, your inner child, your physical, and then we also have like our pain body. We can get into all like the little nuances, all these different aspects. Well, the core bodies that I call are 6 of them. And these core bodies dictate what your reality looks like. And when you take a step back, you can actually understand better why you might be behaving or making choices that you're making if you take a look at your multidimensional self, which is these bodies.
Okay, what are the 6 bodies?
So it's your mental, mm-hmm. emotional, physical, spiritual, ego, and inner child.
Okay.
Yeah, and so these 6 aspects, because the best example, Barb, is like, have you ever been so excited to do something and then all of a sudden you'll talk yourself out of it even though you've been looking forward to doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, it was one or more of your bodies that talked you out of it. Right. All your other bodies were probably on board, but there was one or more that was like, I don't want to do that because it could have been, I'll be seen and I'm scared to be seen, or I don't feel worthy, or I need to freeze to keep myself safe. So, mm-hmm. I don't feel safe in that situation or that experience. And so whatever the reason is, it can be so like, as an adult, you can go, that's silly. But internally, there's an aspect of you that doesn't think it's silly. They think it's very real and they're scared to do something. And so when you talk to these aspects of yourself, you get an opportunity to, one, figure out why you self-sabotaged or why you froze or why you decided to do whatever it is that you did. Mm-hmm. And then you, what I call is reparenting. You can reparent yourself back to wholeness. And what you're doing is you're talking to these aspects of yourself to, one, discover what the problem is, then, two, have reassurance, and then, three, give them different advice or perspective or outlook on where you're at to not today versus where they think you're at. Because oftentimes these aspects of ourself are living in the past versus living in the present moment, because they're doing it based on old programming.
So can you give me an example of it, or can we make up an example?
Yeah, yeah. So I had a client that was so, so excited to come to a live retreat I was hosting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she was talking about it. She was so excited. She messaged me a million times about it. And 2 days before the event, she goes, "I can't come."
Oh, wow.
And I go, "Why?" And she goes, I have a bad feeling about this. I'm super nervous. I can't come. Like I'm feeling bad about it." Mm-hmm. And so she decided not to come. And then a week later, after she saw all the pictures of people posting and things like that, she messaged me and she said, "I realized that my inner child, if I would have went," she talked me out of it. Her inner child talked her out of going, because if she would have went, she would have had to address some of the things that her inner child was nervous, scared, and feeling unworthy about. Mm-hmm. And so it was the inner child that made her feel like, "Hey, if I go, something bad's going to happen. I better not go." But all of her other bodies were on board with it, because they were talking about it. She was talking about it for months, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it can be as simple as that. Or another example, Barb, would be, let's say you're used to people pleasing. Mm-hmm. Well, a part of you or parts of you know that you shouldn't be people pleasing. You shouldn't say yes to everything, because if you say yes to everything, you're not saying yes to yourself. You're saying no to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so let's say someone asks you to do something, and there's a part of you that wants to say no, but you override that response. There's another part of you that's saying yes to that response, saying like, yes. So that could be your mental body that, "Well, if I don't say yes to this,
bad things
I'm going to get
happen.
In trouble." Yeah. Or if I don't say yes to this, they're going to think I'm a bad person. Mm-hmm. And so there's all these different parts of you, and it could be more than just one body that's saying it. It could be your mental body, your emotional body, and inner child that all think the same. If I don't say yes to this person, even though my physical body is tired and my physical body is saying, "No, I don't want to do that," they'll override that response because it's a learned behavior and it's a trauma response that we have. And so when we take a step back and we go, "Hey, why am I saying yes to this thing I really want to say no to?" And we go, what one of you is actually saying yes to this? And it you can see, like, okay, it's my mental, my emotional. Okay, why? Why are we saying yes to this? Well, I'll get in trouble. Well, why do you think you're going to get in trouble? Well, because if I say no, then no one's going to like me. No one's going to say no. Everybody's going to think I'm a bad person, whatever it is, whatever excuse it is, right? Then we have the opportunity to go, "I can see why you feel that way. And the truth is, it doesn't matter if they get mad at us. My physical body, we are tired. And mm-hmm. if I say yes to this, what we're going to do is we're going to start getting burnt out. And if we continue to say yes, we're going to get sick." And mm-hmm. so we deserve to say no when really we want to say no. And no one's going to come in and yell at us if we say no. It's okay if the person gets mad. No one's going to yell at us. And if it is, it's their own thing. And so it's like talking to yourself in a different way and viewing yourself in a different way. Does that make sense?
It does. Now, let's go back to the one that didn't come to the retreat. If she had sat down before, once you started to get that, oh, this is, I have a bad feeling. If she had sat down before, what would she have done? Done a meditation to, and gone through each body to see where is this block?
You want to know where it's coming from. Like where is this no coming from? Or where is this fear coming from? So in this case, it's like, where is this fear of going to the retreat coming from? And if she would have sat down and would have been like, oh, it's my inner child. Okay, let me sit with my inner child. Let me hug on her. Let me love on her. Let me just talk to her and see why she feels this way. And then you'll get a clearer understanding. Because oftentimes when we're talking to these different aspects of ourselves, it's like talking to a kid. Our bodies, our egos is stuck in the past. And we get stuck in the past because of something happening. And it could be small or big, doesn't matter what it is, something happened and you internalized it. These aspects of you internalized it a certain way. And if I do this thing, this will happen. If I don't do this, will happen. And so there's these chain of reactions that in our belief systems around what will happen, what will not happen. And it's a guessing game, right? We don't really honestly know if something's going to happen, but we got to trust. And so when we have these conversations, we get a better understanding of our multidimensional self and how our reality is being shaped in any particular moment by our bodies.
Mm-hmm. How could any of these bodies be impacted by Akashic records? So if you go back to the child, let's say inner child, and you're looking for the fear or whatever set this up that made her not want to go to that retreat, but it's not in this lifetime.
Exactly.
And that happened.
So we can have a fear that is ancestral or soul lineage. So we can have ancestral trauma that we're holding on to. And it could be, and this can be either soul or ancestral. So let me explain two lineages. So you have your ancestral lineage, that is everything that's in your bloodline from your biological parents that you are born into. It doesn't matter if they were your caregivers or not. We hold our blood lineage. And then if you have caregivers, you can take on their beliefs as well. And then you have your soul lineage. Your soul lineage is everything your soul has ever experienced before this lifetime. And they can have conflicting beliefs. They can have similar beliefs. And so with the soul lineage, you could have a lifetime where you were persecuted for speaking up. And so now in this lifetime, you're scared of speaking up, even though you grew up in a household that welcomed you, invited you to share everything openly and honestly. You were never punished for it. You were given a platform to do so, but you're still scared. Well, then that's a soul lineage thing. And it happened in a previous lifetime or on a different timeline where it's like, you're being persecuted for sharing something. Our soul has had so many different journeys and they're all very fascinating. They're all very different. And we're in this lifetime having this experience. This is where we are embodied. And so if something's not working, we can utilize the records, or if something's not, if you're curious about it or you're wanting to do something, you can utilize the records to figure out why you might be behaving a certain way, or why you might think a certain way, or why you might be taking freeze, flight, or fight, depending on what it is that's going on.
So let's say if you look back through this lifetime and the fear really isn't there, as you said, from past life or from Akashic records that you were persecuted for speaking up, and in this lifetime, you're encouraged to speak up. So you're looking at your life and you're not seeing it. How do you go back to the Akashic records? How do you do that?
Yeah, so for me, you can utilize the records for the past, the present, or the future. And so in this case, we'd be utilizing for the past. Mm-hmm. And when I teach this inside of Sacred Awakening, we can do a method where we're just going right into a past life, or we can utilize the records by asking questions like, hey, I have this fear of speaking up, where does that come from? And they might share, this comes from a previous lifetime where you were persecuted. And then we can go down the whole rabbit hole of how that previous life is impacting you in this lifetime. Because I'm a big believer in not glamorizing past lives, because you'll hear people like, I was a queen in a previous life. That's nice, but why is that information important for you to know? Because when information is revealed, it's revealed for a reason. And so for example, this case, if we were to go into the Akashic Records and they say, this was the previous life, you were persecuted, you shared some information, people misunderstood it, and so you were hung for it. That it could be as simple as that. Or you could have been a witch, considered a witch during the Salem witch trials, or all the witch trials. There was all sorts of different witch trials. I mean, there's witch trials that happen today that people are persecuted for. So it's all depending on what it is. And so the thing about when we're utilizing the records is we want to, the main thing is to get curious, because the more curious you are and you're not doing it from a place of judgment. So for example, like, hey, why do I have a hard time speaking up versus I never speak up? Like, I'm having such a hard time doing this. And you're just judging yourself versus getting curious about why that might be happening. It allows you to be more open to what wants to be shared, and also be more open to healing it as well.
Which was my next question. How do you heal it?
So, it just
let's say you're thinking this came in from, and this happened, you know, and so we're bringing trauma basically from, let me back up a second, past lives and Akashic Records, are they the same thing?
No, they're not. So the Akashic Records, you can think of the Akashic Records as like a computer database. It's like Google. Like, you, the Akashic Records holds records for anything. It holds records for you. It holds records for me. It holds records for different planets. It holds records for plants. It holds records for rocks and crystals and anything. Anything and everything has an Akashic Records, because everything is recorded in the Akash. And so when you say past life and Akashic Records, the past life is recorded in the Akashic Records. And so it's within it. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. So it's part of the bigger. But aren't all our past life then Akashic Records?
Yes. So everything is recorded. So anything your soul has ever experienced is recorded in the Akash. And so you can think about it. A lot of people have, everybody can view and perceive and see the Akashic Records differently. There's an analogy of the library. A lot of people will view it as a library. And inside that library, there is a book. And in the Bible, the Akashic Records is referred to as the book of life. And so it's a book on you. So it's a manuscript on your soul and what your soul has experienced and will possibly experience. And I say possibly because we have free will and we can make decisions, and it can change the way our reality changes based on how we think and what we do and what we believe.
Can you look at somebody else's Akashic Records?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you can go into anybody's book.
With permission. Like, I can't just go into your records without your permission, because that would go against free will. And so the way I teach it is I teach people how to open their own records, because you have to have a foundation to opening your own records and have that experience. And then I teach people how to open the records for other people as well. That's our first level. And then our second level, I teach people how to do healings inside of the Akashic Records too.
How do you heal something that you've brought in from a past, from a Akashic record, or from a past life? Really, that's where it's coming from. It's a past injury life. In a past life.
Yeah, this is a good question, Barb. So a past life, anytime a past life is coming up, it's either showing you some sort of power or gift for you to claim. So it could be that you used to be a warrior and you used to lead people and you were a great leader. And maybe in this lifetime, you don't recognize that you're an amazing leader and you have that capability. And so maybe that life is shown to you so that you can embody that leadership. Where another past life, maybe you were persecuted for speaking up, or maybe you had a lot of death in your lifetime, in that lifetime where you grieved a lot and you didn't know how to properly grieve. And so maybe this lifetime you learned how to properly grieve. And so what we want to do is, in those cases, when something bad happens, bad is, I'm putting that in quotations, bad is all defined by the perception of how the soul was perceiving it in that lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so you might not think it's bad, but that other person thought it was bad. And so we want to reclaim that fragment of the soul because we fractile. And when we fractile, fragments of our soul get left behind. And so they're still living that experience. And mm-hmm. so one of the things that we want to do is reclaim that fragment of the soul. So you stop reliving that experience. So you stop looking over your shoulder as if you're going to be persecuted. You're in that fear. And so when we reclaim that fragment of the soul, what happens oftentimes is people step into a new frequency, step into a new reality, because they got to experience reclaiming that fragment. Because the sessions that on how I teach and how I do sessions myself is I want the person to experience it, because mm-hmm. me telling you versus you experiencing it are two totally different things. Right. And I've had people where we're doing a healing and they're like, this is insane. What I'm seeing, what I'm noticing. I'm just, it's weird what I'm seeing. And so whatever the words that they're using, they get to experience it. Because, you know, if I said, hey, Barb, you were a fantastic leader in a previous lifetime, and you don't actually see it for yourself or energetically feel that, it's still outside of you. And then when you get to actually witness it, you start changing, and your perception of yourself starts changing as well.
So as you experience it, it reintegrates then mm-hmm. into this lifetime.
Yeah.
And so many of us have had so many lifetimes, how can we function at all? I mean, I would think. Yeah.
So it just depends. I think that it's, you know, we have a set map, and when we do this work inside of the Akashic Records or meditate, like it all depends on what you're doing and what spiritual modalities you're connected to. And the modality doesn't have to be, and I'm going to put that in quotations, technically spiritual, because mm-hmm. washing the dishes can be a spiritual act. Mm-hmm. And if you give yourself permission to allow yourself to heal while you're washing the dishes, that can be a very healing experience, a spiritual modality in itself. And so it's all in the eye of the beholder and how they're interacting and reacting to whatever it is that they're choosing to do at that particular moment. And so my mission in this lifetime is, one, to get really super, super curious about why I do the things that I do. And when I'm ready, I don't force it. When I'm ready and I get curious and start asking the right questions, then something will be revealed that wants to be healed. Because it's anything that wants to be healed will be revealed. And so not everything is being revealed to you all at once, because that would be extremely overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. Talk about laying you out.
Yeah. And so we are in charge of our own destiny, in terms of we come into this lifetime, we have a set amount of things that we want to experience. And we have reasons for why we want to experience it. And we might not understand it, but until you recognize that, hey, I keep attracting this same experience over and over and over and over again, the universe is still going to continue to give you that experience until you get curious enough to go, why do I keep attracting these types of people in my life. And I recently just had this experience where I was telling my husband about something that happened in my business. And he goes, do you realize you attract that same type of person and you've had the same issue over and over and over again? And I'm like, I guess you're right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have. Why is that? Let me go sit down with around this. And, you know, you might think that you've already worked on something, but it continues to show up. Don't get mad that it's showing up. Say thank you, because it's like, oh, okay. Clearly I'm not getting it. I'm not getting mm-hmm. it. So what is it that I need to get? Like, and you can ask in the records, and that's why I love the records so much, is because you can get answers. And the more questions you ask, the deeper you can go into the understanding of what it is that they're sharing with you.
Do you need to know which of your six bodies this is impacting before you can go into the records, or very different?
Yeah, that's very different. The work with the bodies, I teach in and outside of the records. So you can do that in the records. You can do this outside of the records. Mm-hmm. I like utilizing it both ways. So there's no wrong or right way. But when I get stuck, so let's say I'm talking to my inner child and she's feeling really sad, but I'm not getting into a place where she feels comforted, where she has a different understanding. I can go into my records and ask the guardians, how can I comfort my inner child? How can I reframe this so that my inner child knows that we are safe and that this isn't impacting us anymore? And by having a team where you can just ask questions on demand and get answers on demand, it makes it very helpful and it allows you to see that you're in charge of your own life too, in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Who is the team?
The team. So you have the masters, teachers, and loved ones. I also refer to them as the guardians of the records. The guardians of the records will switch out based on your questions. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Let's say you feel like something is spiritually attacking you. You're going to have a set of guides that know exactly the answers to give you that's going to support you in understanding how to clear your energy and how to protect your energy. And then maybe in that same session, you also want to ask, like, what would be some good food for me to make for dinner? And that will help me feel grounded and safe in my body. Those guardians might be similar or different because we're talking about a different subject, but we're talking about a similar subject. And so we're still talking about feeling grounded and safe in the body, but we're talking about what can I eat? So you might have a different set of guides that specialize in understanding the human food and what that looks like. And then you might have a guide that talks about protection and grounding. And so a better analogy that I can give you is the guardians switch out based on your needs. And let's say you are wanting to get some dental work done. You would not go to a car mechanic to get dental work done, nor would you want to take advice from a car mechanic on dental work. And mm-hmm. so the guardians are similar. They specialize in different areas and different topics and different themes where they can specialize, and they will switch out in and out of a session based on your needs and your questions and your desires as well.
Does this team come with the Akashic Records, or are they your team? Do they come with you?
So the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records, they have to reach a certain status or a certain vibrational code level in order to be masters, teachers, and loved ones. That doesn't mean that one of those masters, teachers, and loved ones wasn't assigned to me as like a guardian angel at birth. So they mm-hmm. might be in the Akashic Records with me and also be my main team outside of the Akashic Records as well.
Right. If we have so many different lifetimes, mm-hmm. and I believe that we experience pretty much everything, why then can I, so someplace along the line, this is my opinion, I could sing. And someplace along the line, I knew music. And and it was my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no ability in this lifetime to be able to sing, and I'm tone deaf. I have no musical ability.
It wasn't necessary for you in this lifetime.
Okay, so we'll drop out talents that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary. So it's like your soul, when it decides to come into this lifetime, you choose your body, you choose your hair, you choose your skin color, you choose your family. Like, you choose for your soul's evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand what you're signing up for before you come in. And when you come in, we get amnesia, so we forget, and then we got to go through all the cycles of remembering, right? But not everything that you did in a previous lifetime is applicable or helpful in this lifetime.
Right, right.
And just because you sang in a previous life and now you're tone deaf, in a previous life, maybe music was your life and it was a complete distraction of understanding how to have relationships. And so in this lifetime, your soul was like, I don't want any music ability so I can be present and have better family relationships than I did before. And mm-hmm. so that could be a reason why someone might not have that ability, but the reasons are so unique to the soul and to the experience. And I sit oftentimes with this idea of, because I grew up in a household where my stepdad was a severe alcoholic. My biological dad was extremely abusive towards my mom. And I have seen things like in premonitions of things that my biological dad did to my mom. And I will ask my mom, say, if I see it, I'll see it. And then I'll ask my mom, like, hey, did this happen? And then she'll confirm. And something that I saw recently, and I asked my mom, I was like, hey, when did that happen? Because I thought it was around when she was pregnant with me. And she goes, no, it was when I was pregnant with your older sister. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, fascinating. So I knew this as a soul, that that would be my dad. And that's how he treated my mom. But I was okay as a soul coming in knowing that, because it would give me a certain grit, a certain tenacity, a certain willpower to fight through challenges, diversity, or whatever it is that my soul wanted to experience. And so it's kind of hard sometimes for people to wrap their head around, like, if they come from a really crazy family, which we all have crazy families, but they come from a family where it wasn't the best, it's like, but why would I choose that? Well, you chose it because you knew, your soul knew that you would get something out of it for a particular reason. And we also have soul contracts with different soul family members or different soul, soul family members. Because mm-hmm. we can have, our mother can be our sister in a previous life. It could be our best friend in a previous life. We could be a male. We could be female. We could be all sorts of different things. And the goal is to not get caught up on what those things were. The goal is to understand, what are your many, many purposes and many, many missions in this lifetime, so that you can utilize this experience to the maximum capacity that you can utilize it in. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that also is taking a step back and being okay with being human, because I think that sometimes in the spiritual community, or just in general, you don't even have to be in the spiritual community to have this feeling where it's like, I don't want to be sad. Well, guess what? You were gifted with the ability to have emotions. Mm-hmm. And part of your life is processing those emotions in a healthy way that allows you to fully understand your soul's power and capabilities. And when we give ourselves permission to actually feel, we get to experience and embody the humanness on like a completely different level. And part of the human experience is experiencing all of that and being okay with it. And it's, you get to have the good and the bad. You get to feel sad and you get to feel ecstasy. And it's an amazing thing. And sadness oftentimes breeds or bursts, not breeds, it bursts creativity in a way that you wouldn't have had that unless you had that sad experience. Mm-hmm. And you can birth something beautiful from that sadness.
How then does ancestral impact ancestral, well, lives? I don't want to call them traumas, but it is traumas.
Ancestral is very interesting. And I love looking at the ancestors and the ancestors, because the veil is getting so thin. Mm-hmm. The ancestors are coming out in droves, like they're coming out and out and out because they want to help the lineage progress.
What do you call ancestors? Can you define that? So it's not my grandmother, or is it ancestors in a different way?
No, it's when I'm talking about the ancestral lineage, I'm talking about your blood lineage from this lifetime.
Okay.
And so we have our ancestors that are held in our cells of our body. And I don't remember how many generations it goes back, but I believe it's more than 20 that we hold in our cells, and science has proven it. Like, I don't remember the exact number, but it's like crazy. Like, it's crazy that your cells hold on to those genetics and those memories. And so when you are someone that is in a lineage, we're all in some lineage, you were born through some blood lineage, that impacts you in a positive, negative, and neutral way. And oftentimes people that are coming in that want to break the lineage, break cycles in the lineage, break trauma in the lineage, they are usually often the black sheep of the family, because nobody gets them. They question things in a different way. They look at things in a different way. And you don't always, it's not always they're the black sheep of the family, but typically usually the black sheep of the family, or you're the weird one in the family. You're the one that's like a little odd, a little different. And it's
doesn't want to sing the party line kind of thing.
Say that again.
It doesn't want to do the party line.
Yeah. They don't want to, they don't want to toe the line. They don't want to do the same thing that's always done. And I'll look back where, I have seen in my family where all of the siblings in my family, on one side of my family, all became disabled all before the age of 50.
That's frightening.
Super frightening. Mm-hmm. And all from work accidents.
That's really frightening.
So I'm like,
no to self, no, don't work.
I'm not signing up for that. Like, I am not signing up for that. Like, let me be clear on that. So what can I do to prevent that from happening moving forward? And so this is a way to break that cycle. It's like, you can start looking at things that happen in families. And I just recently had something happen with one of my family members, and it was like everything was happening on this their side of the family, and I'm like, dang, like all these siblings have issues right this second, and I'm like, that's insane. There's clearly some karma, like family karma, that's wanting to be looked at. And karma doesn't have to be a bad thing. Karma is neutral. And if we take a step back and we get curious about it, it's like, why is this happening? What can we learn from this? How can we prevent this from moving forward? And we can ask these questions in the records. And the guardians are happy to help with it. The ancestors can also step forward as well, so that they, because they want to help be the change as well, because they have a different perspective from the other side. So the ancestors can be... they can be on the other side. They can be however many generations in, or they could be just a generation before you, where they're like, hey, I want to help. And for me, I've had a lot of one of the beliefs in my ancestral lineage as a woman is you have to work yourself to death. Like you need to work hard and you need to work yourself to death because that's the only way you're going to get ahead. So one of the things that I discovered working in the Akashic Records was I was wanting to call forward an ancestor. She came forward, she gifted me tobacco leaves, and I completely forgot all about that I had this session with her. And so I ended up having a person build me a family tree. And when she built me this family tree, what we discovered was that I had a grandfather, I think 10 generations back, that owned a tobacco farm. And I was telling actually my assistant about my ancestors that had the tobacco farm. And she's like, don't you remember that story of you telling me about you were gifted from the ancestors tobacco leaves? I'm like, oh my God, I forgot all about that. So, you know, sometimes we don't connect the dots until later on. And so one of the things that after looking at this and observing it more and playing more around this in the records is one of the beliefs that the women in my family have, that's an ancestral belief, is as a woman, you need to work really, really, really hard in order to get ahead. And nobody's going to hand you anything. You got to do it all by yourself because no one's going to hand you anything. Well, come to find out, this grandfather that had over 500 acres of tobacco, when he passed away, he had daughters and sons. The sons got the farm. The daughters got 20, like basically the equivalent of like, I think it was like a few dollars is what they got.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, you know, and times are different. So we can't ever judge what happened. It's what we want to get curious about is where did that belief come from? And if I look at this, that belief came from, hey, doesn't matter if your family has all these things. If I don't take care of myself, I'm not going to have anything.
Right. So does a recognition of that, you know, that happened 10 generations back, does the recognition release it or integrate your soul? Just the recognition of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you've processed it. So I've had someone that I was at this expo, I was speaking at the expo. We did this ancestral healing and someone asked in the audience, he said, I had a previous life. A psychic told me I had a previous life where I got my hands chopped off. I have issues with my hands all the time. And so he didn't get to experience that lifetime. He was just told about that lifetime. And so he hasn't had the experience to actually heal that particular lifetime versus when you get to experience it, oh, I chopped off people's hands in a previous lifetime because if I didn't, I would have been persecuted for not chopping off their hands. Like we get put in weird situations and no one is a saint in a previous lifetime.
Right.
In terms of like, we all make mistakes. We all have to do things based on what is appropriate and what is not appropriate based on those times. And as you know, like what was appropriate 20 years ago is not appropriate now and things change, right?
And but so how can we have any free will if we have all of these things impacting us? I mean, we have free will theoretically, but if all of these things are impacting us, just the way we think kind of isn't free.
Well, it's because we're fractile. And that's the part that I think for me is the most fascinating part. It's learning in your lifetime on how to pull your energy back into you and how to, one, be okay with being human. Because if you're not okay with being human, what you're doing is you're fractiling. You're fracturing your energy because you feel guilt or shame. Like, hey, I'm a healer, but I broke my foot. Well, that's a part of life. Things happen. Yeah. It's okay if you get sick. Your physical human body is not meant to live on forever. And nor would I want my physical body to live on forever. My soul is eternal. That's the part that's really important to understand. And so it's giving yourself permission to have the experiences that your soul wants to have and giving yourself permission to remember, because it's all about remembering. And
that's the integration.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. When you get more curious to remember, then.
I want to ask you quickly, we're running out of time, but I really want to know, how did you cure, and I assume you did, so all of your siblings are, before 50, having work accidents, serious work accidents, I take it. How did you fix that so you don't have it? How did you cure that in your family?
One is, first off, recognizing the pattern. Mm-hmm. And then I can decide to breathe the cycle breaker in my own life. But if I have siblings, they're on their path and they have free will. And if they want to continue on that cycle, I can't make them do anything their soul wants to do. But for me, it was recognizing it and then breaking the pattern, doing something, whatever I'm being guided to do in the records. And sometimes just the recognition alone will break the pattern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so for me, how that shows up is I don't work 70 hours a week anymore.
Oh, okay.
I say no to things. I have very set, strict boundaries on my work schedule and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. So just protecting. But did you go back in the ancestral records, see where's this coming from? Was it the tobacco farm?
Yeah.
Was that
and
the same?
For me, I worked a lot. Like I used to work, when I was in college, I had a full-time job, three part-time jobs, and I went to school full-time. Really? Talk about working. Like,
talk about trying to get out of your own head, really.
Yeah.
Being so busy. What is the light codes? We've got 1 minute. Light codes and light language.
So light language is the cosmic language of your soul. Every symbol, sound, movement holds paragraphs of information that aren't able to be communicated through human words. And so we can speak it or move with it or write it. And so it pushes past the logical conscious mind to the subconscious mind and assists with untrancing you, basically.
Mm-hmm. Do you see in pictures? I meant to ask you that before.
I don't. I'm very clear cognizant. So I have a very clear knowing. I do see in pictures. I see a lot more pictures for myself versus when I channel for clients or when I teach. I have a lot of knowing that comes through. But I'll clear audience and then visual. And it just depends on what it is and what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. What kind of, and you have 1 minute, what kind of meditation do you do that allows you to go into this world? Is it stop your mind from thinking or, what kind?
So inside of Sacred Awakening, I teach a very specific method that's very simple and easy to do. And we utilize crystalline energy to unlock the record. So we say a prayer, a very specific prayer, and then I teach people how to use crystalline energy that they're attuned to open their records. And it's a very simple method. If your audience is interested, I have a lot of free healings. So if they're interested in
get hold of you?
So you can go to theamyrobison.com, which is T-H-E-A-M-Y-R-O-B as in boy, E as in Edward, S as in Susan, O-N as in Nancy.com, theamyrobison.com, and /free. And this is also on the free events page too. You can just sign up for our sacred gifts, which is 20 plus free healings and activations. You can utilize it as a meditation And we have all sorts of different things from money, inner child, new beginnings, all that stuff. So you can go on there and check it out. And I also have a podcast, which is Awakening with Amy Robeson, where I talk about all sorts of different things. And I channel messages from the Akash. And I also will do, like, we just recently did like a free light language healing on there as well.
Mm-hmm. And can people get hold of you and have you just do a reading on them or work on them rather than take a class? Rather than they learn it, will you heal them?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The so, down and dirty, you know?
Right now, because I'm working on my book, I'm not doing any one-on-one sessions. But if you reach out, I can, and you tell me what you're looking for, I can refer you to one of my students. So I have taught over 2,000 students this month.
Yeah.
And so it's a method that's really amazing. And so I'm a big believer in that you can learn how to do these things for yourself, which I think is really important. But if you're wanting a reading, I have tons of people. And then we also offer, when my students are getting certified, we offer free practice readings in our Facebook group as well, which is also Awakening with Amy Robeson. So if you're wanting a free reading, you would just hang out in there and see, wait till someone posts that they're doing their practice certification sessions.
Right. Amy, thanks so much for being on the show. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much, too. This was so much fun.
It's great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for Metaphysics, A View Through the Veil. Please tune in for another edition with your host, Barb Crowley, next Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Enjoy your upcoming weekend.